No, 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 exactly. Well, we are live now, by the way, so don't call it. But listen, well, welcome tonight to the D&K Straight Talking Repost Non-League Show. And, of course, me and Keith would normally say, well, I'd normally first start off by saying, well, look, you know, we're here for the next 2 hours. We're not this tonight. We're only going to be a short one. We're only here for the first hour because, of course, there's an England game on tonight and everybody will be turning us off and wanting to watch the England game. So we thought, well, we'll let you do. We'll let you have the best chance of both worlds and watch us, and then go on to see the England game. But we're really pleased, me and Keith, because of course, if you can see either to Keith's left or to the far right, whichever you're seeing on the screen, we've got Craig with us from the mighty Molesley. So welcome, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate. You?
Not too bad. Not too bad tonight. Yeah, just recovering from a week of hell. But we're recovering the best we possibly can. But
Craig, it's really sad that you couldn't come and sit next to us, because me and Dave was hoping we'd both get a Molesley shirt.
Mate, you've only got for 12 of them. Into their one on match days, that's it.
You might get a game at the same time.
Yeah,
you could do that, actually, to be honest.
But shall we start off then with the games from the weekend? We'll go through these really, really quickly, and then we'll go on to Molesley and other bits and bobs during the week as well. But starting in the Premier League then at the weekend, it was Hornchurch 0, Bishop Stortford 1, and Jamie Curran back on the score sheet.
Yeah, that's two good results they've picked up, Dave. Bishop Stortford over the last fortnight. Hornchurch, we thought they might have got something at home there. Like I said, they don't normally concede too many, but it's another defeat that keeps them sort of in touch with the bottom, didn't it? Bottom three or four.
Yeah. And in my life in football, I've actually got Jim. Jim's going to, he was going to do it yesterday, but he had to go for a little minor tooth operation, so he couldn't speak. So he's going to do it in the next week or so. So that'd be good to hear from Jim in the coming weeks as well. Bognor Regis Town 0, Leatherhead 4. Probably the shock of the day, is it?
I don't know about shock, because on that day, Leatherhead are decent, but to go to Bognor and win 4-0 is massive. You know, difficult place to go. They've got a decent crowd. It was over 500 nearly, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But to win 4-0 is big. And that keeps their slim chances as well still, Dave, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It certainly does. Burgess Hill Town 0, Margate 2. And it just keeps rolling and rolling, doesn't it, Margate, at the minute?
Listen, Jay's doing a great job there. And we said that Margate had a good side anyway, but he's tightened them up. And we said this, I think, last week. How many goals they must have conceded since he's been there. I don't think they've conceded 3, I think.
Yeah.
Since he took over, which is unbelievable.
He's just going the right way. They're only 10 points now outside the playoffs. They've written, have left it a little bit too late to sneak in there?
Yeah, most probably. But listen, we've got 7 games to go, 21 points. You never know. Someone always, in all the playoffs, will have a little bit of a squeaky bum.
Yeah.
And they'll fall away. So, you know, it's they've got a great chance. And like I said, it just goes to show what sort of manager he is and what they can do. And, you know, Margot, a big club, so that'll be a big force next season if they don't.
Yeah, absolutely. Got to be favourites. Would you say early favourites before the season even starts, you would think?
Well, this suit comes down as well.
Carl Shorten 3, Brighton Sea Regent 0, 482 there. And all of a sudden, Brighton Sea look like they're going to be cutting the budget as well. So unless they get some outside help, financial help. So that's not great for Brighton Sea people. But, you know, Terry puts in everything, doesn't he, into Brighton Sea. But Peter and Carl Shorten flying.
He does, yeah. Listen, Peter's done a great job, and I think they will make the playoffs. But I don't know, I'll ask this to Craig, because obviously, you know, we're going to talk Molesley anyway, and we know sort of the financial constraints over there. But do you find it strange that clubs go on social media or whatever and say they're cutting budgets and, you know, and so on? Or is that just looking for investors? Or, you know, or do you think they should keep that sort of in-house?
Me, myself, I'd like to keep it in-house if it was at Molesley. I don't know, I think it sends out the wrong message. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're a rival club, like, if it was a club near the bottom that was doing it to us, I would, you know, you then think you've got half a chance. Again, what happens in the club, your club stays in your club. I wouldn't be putting it out there. And there's other ways to go and get sponsorship rather than doing that. I wouldn't like it at my club.
But also,
yeah, I just thought I'd ask. I'm not having a go at Brighton. You see, cause we like them, but just strange thing to do. That's all.
Yeah. No, I think so. But going back to Carshalton, I don't think that's a shock there up there. Mm. As you know, last year they were one of the best sides in the league, weren't they? You get on their 3G and they start looking about, you're in trouble.
I think already the vultures are circling as well, I think, from what I read today on Facebook and the stuff around Brighton and City, saying, you know, people will be coming in now trying to cherry-pick off their best players.
But you can't, Dave. Unless you put the 7 days, is knackered. The transfer deadline's Thursday or Friday, so they can't lose anyone if they don't want to lose anyone.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crimpton Casuals 0, Dorking Wanderers 0. Surprise there.
It's a great result for Crimpton Casuals. They would have took the point there. Dorking, are they doing a bit of a cray? Maybe got their feet already sort of under the table where the championship's concerned, and just drawing a few games, taking their foot off the pedal, but. Decent crowd over there as well, but I think that could be a huge point going towards the end of the season for Corinthian.
Mm.
I actually fancied Corinthians to get something before the game. I'm good friends with James McShane through Molesey,
who's
at Dorking Wanderers, and he said in all the years that he's been at Dorking, the team they've struggled with the most is Corinthians. He said they should have beat them in the playoff final a couple of years back. Mm. They didn't beat them the season they went up during the campaign, so I fancied that for them to get a draw. Like you say, that could be a massive point.
Mm.
Helping them stay up as well.
Mm. Looking on next one, Folkestone Victor 0, Worthing 1.
Great 3 points for Worthing away at Folkestone. That maybe dent their playoffs, what they wanted a little bit more, Dave, as well. But, we said what a strong side Worthing have got, and they've just over the sort of last few months sort of been up and down a little bit. I thought they would win it. I said that to you, and then Dorking have gone on and that Worthing slipped back, but that's a big 3 points there.
Yeah, massive, yep. 578 there. Haringey Borough 3, Enfield Town 1. And I suppose, I know it sounds a bit of a silly thing to say, but I know Haringey higher up than Enfield, but I must admit, I was expecting Enfield to win that.
I wasn't at Haringey. If it had been the other way round, because Haringey's had a little sticky patch and... Enfield's done well, but there's a massive crowd there as well to see that. But they needed that, having just to sort of steady the ship, put some now in a
great position.
Puts him in a great position now.
Back in the second place. Lewis 3, Kingstonia 0. Just a change of managers hasn't worked. The bounce hasn't started off first game, has it?
Yeah, but what we're led to believe, Dave, about the problems. Sort of in the club, not maybe the playing side, it's not gonna, is it? Again, another massive crowd, over 800 at Lewis. A nice solid win, because again, they've had a couple of up and down results. They would have fancied that as well. And obviously, Kingstonian just need to sort of try and drop anchor and pick up points, similar to what Corinthian done, because they need points now.
We trained at Goals on Thursday because our pitch was being hired out, and they were on the next court to us, Kingstonian. They only had 11 training. I think a lot of players have sort of, I don't know if they're sulking or what, but they weren't there. They had 11 training, and it's not good for a club that size, really.
Not at all. Wow. No.
Mm. Interesting. I mean, Lewis, though, to keep getting these crowds, banging in these people coming through the doors at Lewis, they must be doing something that other clubs are not, or...
Well, they do and don't, Dave, but if you've gone down to Lewis, there's nothing else about apart from Brighton. And obviously, it's international week, so Brighton's not playing, and they will go and watch them.
Yeah.
Worthing away, there's not many sides about there, and they do love their football down there. It's a massive club. There's some great people that run it. I know them really well, and I've said this to you many a time. And, it is a good catchment area down there.
Mm. Mersham 5, Harlow Town 1, and the slump carries on for Harlow.
I feel for him, Dave. Got some great publicity in the last week, didn't they, with Harry Redknapp thing.
Mm.
Maybe I should have signed a couple of them.
Yeah.
they seem to be conceding goals for fun, and they need to stop. I don't know if it means changing formation, changing shape. Can't get obviously much personnel in now, but just make himself difficult to beat at the moment, and then see how they go. But what we're looking at, They got 7-8 games left. We'll look at the league tables in a minute.
They are now
they need 4 points. They need to pick up 4 or 5 wins.
Mm. Yeah, I mean,
you wouldn't fancy getting Merstham in the playoffs either to run there.
No, you wouldn't have big score goals.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going on the other programme about, but third programme in, and Glenn Driver was on there, and Glenn said to us, do you know what, I've heard rumours, he said, I think they might struggle down there this year, and then since then they ain't stopped winning.
Yeah. Yeah. Good side. Hayden's a good manager, he knows the league inside out.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Whitehawk 0, Tonbridge Angels 4.
Just going back to what Craig said, you wouldn't fancy getting Tonbridge Angels in the playoffs either at the moment. They're in a great run of form.
I think I
saw... Scoring goals, got a good squad. I'm pleased for Steve. He's had a bit of grief over the year for some, obviously, mindless supporters. But he's come out on top and you know, like, you know, you've got Alex up front. He's got a lot of... He's getting his firepower back at the moment. And to go to Whitehawk, who's picked results up recently and get a 4-0 win, massive.
I think as well, did I not see as well that their captain got injured and maybe out for the rest of the season, Tonbridge? I'm sure that's what I saw somewhere.
You did. I see that. Yeah, I was going to mention that. Mr. Parkinson, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. 3:46 in there, and Mr. Reid, I think, if I looked on Saturday, was on the bench, and Chindu was in the number 9 on at the weekend, and he scored. Yeah.
Maybe a bit of a rotate, got a slight knock, you never know.
Yeah, you never know. Next year could be Charlie and Alex playing for BCD, who knows?
Can't
fuck two of them, mate. Wingate Finchley 4, Potters Bar Town 2, and Wingate's improvement is, you know, a nightmare for Harlow, I suppose, in a way. But that's, you know, that's 11 goals in 2 games now in the league.
Yeah, it's funny, and again, we talked to Craig as well about it, his team. But once you go through a stage where you all of a sudden you bang goals in like Wingate did against Harlow, that confidence just floods through, and you know, you get someone that can put the ball in the net, or you put the ball in the net, you're going to win more games than you lose, and they've just hit that again, and that's a big result, and it is Potters Bar that are slipping the other way, Dave.
Mm. Yeah, which is a shame, a real shame. We've done that one. So the table then, Dorking Wanderers, they're sitting top, play 36 with 75. Haringey then got 36 with 64. Tonbridge 36 with 63, Mersham 36 with 61, Werbin 36 with 60, and then just outside is Carr Shorten 36 with 59, and then Enfield Town with 55, Leatherhead with 55, and Lewis with 54. But folks, they're now dropped right down there now with 53 down in 10th.
Only 7 points out of it though, Dave.
Yeah.
So it ain't much with these, like I said. Now, as we know, last year and every year, these last 6-7 games, that you get some really weird results start popping in now. So I think even Folkestone have got a chance. And if you say Folkestone, then you still got to look at Bishop Stortford and Bognor.
Yeah. And it could be anybody's, couldn't it? To try and nick it. You have a couple of dodgy results there in the next couple of weeks and you're in all kinds of trouble. At the bottom then, Burgess Hill Town played 36 with 29. Harlow 36 with 33. Whitehawk 36 with 34, and then Wingate and Finchley 36 with 37, Potters Bar 36 with 39. Steve Curtis has just joined us from Mildon Hall. Just to let Steve know, I did try and get hold of Abby again today. She's in Sweden on a UEFA refereeing training course, which Keith will be pleased to hear that she's on a training course with UEFA, but that's where she's at the present minute in time. So with Potters Bar not actually you know, pulling up any sort of results at the minute. Do you think they might be the one that the likes of Harlow, Burgess Hill, Whitehawk might be looking at?
I think it's too late for Burgess Hill, Dave. They've got to get 8 points. Nine. They've got a minus 46 goal difference. So I think it's too late for them. If Harlow and that can get there, again, they've got minus 43. Potters Bar, but just going back to Corinthian, that 1 point to come above Potters Bar, and they've got, you know, that's what they needed. So I think it's down to them. I know Kingstonia are only 8 points, but and Hornchurch as well. I just think they might just have a little bit more.
Mm. I mean, looking at it though, I mean, just looking at the goals against, and you know, Harlow's is 88 goals against, you know, compared to, you know, Potters Bar 46 against, Wingate 72. Whitehawk 66 and Burgess Hill 82.
It'd be interesting, Dave, to have a look over the last 10 games of how many goals Harlow have let in, just in the last 10.
Well, I'll have a flick through that while we're going on to the North Division. And in the North Division then, it was AFC Sudbury 3, Witham Town 1, 244 there to watch that one. No surprise, really?
No, nothing really there, Dave. You'd expect them, obviously, Witham, you know, they're just above it, aren't they? And to go to Sudbury is difficult as well.
Great ground, one of the, you know, probably one of the best grounds, you think? I'm not just talking about the surface, I'm talking about the ground itself.
Yeah, but Dave, going back, very similar to Harlow's, I don't know if you've been over there, Craig, Sudbury, before, and Harlow, they had one of the best grass pitches with the pop-up sprinklers and everything, but I think they changed it for financial, but Harlow had the same, Dave. They had a lovely grass pitch as well before they took it up, and it's a shame, but yeah, no, it's a great facility, it's nice over there.
We're just pulling up these Harlow results as I'm talking to you, so we'll have a look through that in a minute. Averley 3, Mildenhall Town 0, a hat-trick from Sam Bantick, 21, 36 and 63 for them.
Yeah, I see that. And just going up back to the Tunbridge thing, was Tom Richardson on the bench as well?
He was, yeah, he was.
Good signing, Sam. I had him at VCD for a little while. He played him wide and, he was a good player.
What about this one? Justin... I don't know if you'd seen bits and bobs on
about
Justin.
Yeah.
Justin talking about how Bridge Swifts are not putting on highlights, etc., etc., and he got absolutely roasted on Saturday night. But Bowers and Pitsy 9, Barking 0. I mean, where did that come from?
Listen, on their day, Bowers are a very strong side, and you wouldn't expect that. You look straight away for sending offs, etc. Barking's had some great results recently. It was funny, a couple of our lads. Spoke to Rashid Kamara in our changing room because obviously, you know, he's an ex-player, he's a mate, and I don't know if anyone knows Rash, he's about 4'4", and they were asking, was he in goal? and did they keep kicking it above the crossbar and just, you know, winding him up? But it's one of them, if you're Justin, you just have to put behind you and move on. But what a result for Bowers, you know. They've got the firepower, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, they really have, and they're a good side, and it's one of them. Once heads start going down, that happens. But Justin's not a person. He's not going to hide about it. As much as the people like to see other people foul and knock people. And, you know, as Craig had said, there are a few two-faced people around and in football. And, you know, he speaks his mind. And I've got a lot of time for him for that. I won't agree with everything Justin says or does. But at least you know where you stand with him. And he's a manager. And we've all been there or thereabouts. You know, don't get me wrong. I don't think I've ever had a drubbing of that amount. But it happens. It happens.
Well, Dane Edwards has just turned around and said, the chap in the middle. So there must be a new watcher. Who does he manage? He manages VCD in the Bostic South East. And, of course, Craig on the far right is manager of Molesley in the Bostic South Central. The answer to the question in the last 10 games, 33 goals Harlow conceded in the last 10 games.
Average of 3.3, that's four.
A 5, a 7 and a 9 in those 10 games as well. Coggeshall Town 3, Basildon United 0. Left it till the 62nd minute until they broke the deadlock and then got two more.
Yeah, again, Dave, you know, they're a strong side. They've made some signings as well. Like I told you, that, you know, my lad, and he scored, Mackay. He obviously played his first game for them. And he scored, and they've got a lot of firepower. Him, Ross Wall. You won't fancy meeting them in the playoffs. You won't fancy meeting them in the playoffs.
Well, here's the team that I think if we probably started somewhere in the region of about sort of February time, January time, they might be in the playoffs. Dereham Town 3, Bury Town 2. Absolutely flying.
Yeah, great. Again, they've picked up from somewhere. It's funny, you just don't know sometimes, you know, he hasn't changed too much where he's happened. You just get a win, confidence, your team looks completely different.
And their next game, Bowers and Pitsy. So it'll be interesting to see. Felix Stonewarton 3, Brentwood Town 0. And Brentwood play Averley in a revised fixture tomorrow night.
Brentwood beat Coggeshall in the week, didn't they? Which was a great result. So they're a funny side. Obviously, my ex-goalkeeper's in goal. Rob Bowe's a lovely fella. And they're typical Brentwood. They win one, lose one, beat top sides, lose a few. But to go up to Phoenix, though, is not a surprise. But again, Dave, what a great crowd they've had there, 416.
It's just one of those things as well, isn't it? Phoenix, though, I said to you, you know, other than sort of maybe a Morden and a Bowers, they were probably one of the best sides I've seen down at Abley this year. I thought they were outstanding when they came down and played Abley. Heybridge Swifts 2, Grays Athletic 1. It looked for a long time, and Grays maybe getting their second win, and they came up with a couple of late goals, and Heybridge win the game by 2-1.
Yeah, it's a good bounce back there. Obviously, Julian will be happy with that. I think Jim would have been confident going into the game after the back of the win last week. But that would have been two decent managers there in the dugouts.
Well, we had a conversation Friday night, me and Dean, and I said, and he said Romford are definitely down, and I said, well, if Romford could get anything on Saturday, would that sort of be a springboard to go forward? And for a little bit of time, it... I thought it might be happening, but unfortunately it didn't. It's Romford 2, Morden Tiptree 4.
Yeah, no one expected them to get a result there, Dave, did they? But they've had a go. And as we spoke to Paul last week, they scored a couple of goals, so they have got half a chance. So, yeah, I think your missus has just come on,
she
Dave.
She has, yeah.
She's put nice haircut. Who's your hairdresser? Is she talking to you, Craig, or me?
I'm
the only one, ain't I?
She knows it was my little girl just before we came on air, so there we go. But where was we? Sandtown Rangers 1, Canby Island 0. Sam already again.
It's a great result for Soham. Again, I'm a bit bemused at Canby. It'd be interesting to get someone on from there. What's gone on this season?
It's just amazing, isn't it? You would expect them to be one of those teams that were up there fighting for the. Championship rather than fighting for for a playoff place, really, with somebody like Canby Island. But as you said, really surprising to see them down in literally all the way down in 13th and lost 16 games, 38 points, and on a minus goal difference as well, with the firepower that they had there at the beginning of the season as well. Tilbury 0, Great Wakering 3. Another sort of surprise, because you don't often get to see teams going to Tilbury and picking up the points.
You don't, Dave, but I see a video from Great Wakering celebrating, and my ex-player Mark Gorbell, with nothing on, having a little dance about, nothing changes there. But when you look at Great Wakering's side, they've made some big signings, Dave. They've got Bobby Mason in goal. Obviously, you've got Simon Glover, you've got Turi up front, Shamil Barnwell was on the bench. Yeah, they've signed some big players.
They bought Shad Nagandu as well from Averley as well. He was in there
exactly
as well.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So, as you say, some big players all of a sudden. But a great result for them, 3-0 against Tilbury. Let's have a look at the table then. Bowers are top and away, really. 32 with 80. Rob did say we'll come on the show once the season's completed, either, you know, if he gets promoted or doesn't, and I said to him, leave off, mate, you might as well come on now, it's all over. But he said he didn't want to count his chickens, but there we go. But Morden and Tiptree second, 32-68. Then it's a real sort of like bottleneck. Coggeshall 32-64, Averley 31-64, but they play their game in hand tomorrow night. Heybridge Swifts 32-64, and then a massive gap of 15 points to AFC Sudbury with 49. Bury Town then with 44, Felixstowe 44, and if my maths is right, one more win, I think it's 3 points maybe needed then from the three of them, Coggeshall, Averley and Heybridge, and that'll be the playoffs definitely already completely done and dusted.
Yeah, it's just positions then, who wants to play who, or who can play who. Home advantage, isn't it? Obviously Averley will desperately want home advantage on the carpet. And obviously the other three obviously got grass pitches. But yeah, that'd be the first league basically done and dusted.
But looking from the outside in, I mean, if you were to say Averley, for instance, I mean, is it one of those situations now where you start looking at it and thinking, well, look, you know, I don't really, you know, I want a home tie, yes, but would you sort of sacrifice the home tie if you didn't want to play a team that it looked like you might be getting?
Don't know how you can sacrifice anything, Dave, until the last game of the season. You just don't know with results. Like I said, you know, some of the bottom sides need points, and they might beat some of the top sides anyway. But you know, who wouldn't you want? Who wouldn't want Averley? Who wouldn't want, like you just said, you know, Colchester, Maldon, and Ambridge Swifts. They're four very good sides.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think you can pick. I don't know what Craig thinks. I think you just got to, whatever comes along. Just you want to keep winning anyway. Now you want as good momentum as you can take in.
Mm. I mean, for me, the one to avoid has got to be Maldon and Triptree for me.
I'm not sure about that. Mm.
But bottom, it's Romford at bottom. They play 32-21. Mildenhall 32-22. 8-point gap to Witham on 30 and four more to Great Wakeham and Sam. So two from three now.
Yeah. So a Great Wakeham obviously assigned some players to get them out, and it's worked. Mm. They're fine. Well, you know, for, they keep them solid and signed as well. It's two from three.
Mm. Well, into your league then, Craig. First up then, so we look at these games. Ashford Town 0, Uxbridge 1.
You can talk to us about these, Craig.
Yeah, that was a bit of a shock. They've been on a bad run, Uxbridge. Mm. Ashford at home, tough place, pitch ain't great. So I was expecting a home win there, to be honest. But I think that's Uxbridge safe. Well, they're always safe, but they must have just started looking over their shoulder a little bit. But that win, that's put them all right now, I think. Mm.
Bedford Sports 3, Westfield 0.
Yeah, bit of a shock again. But 3G. Mm. Like Keith said, massive advantage playing on the 3G if you don't play on it week in, week out. I went to watch Westfield last week when our game was off, and I thought they were good side. So, again, a shock. 3-0 as well, not even a close game. Like, if it's a 1-0, you might maybe think get away with it. But 3-0, a bit of a shock.
Well, one that must have pleased you, Shelford St Peter 1, Northwood 2.
Yeah, just keeps them looking over their shoulder again. There's like four or five teams, I think, that are still in it. They're one of them. That pleased us. Norfolk are on fire, though. They left it too late, but yeah, they're doing well. Good season. Good second half of the season.
6 points from the playoffs, Norfolk, as we sit. Chipstead 1, Ware 3.
Yeah, that no real shock there. I thought Ware would beat them. I think Chipstead having, for their sort of standard, a disappointing season. I think they signed a lot over the summer. Would have fancied themselves to be up there. They weren't bad last year. Keith will tell you, they were right last year. Nice little play, pitch ain't bad and that. But they're on a good run. So no real shot there. It was what I expected, really.
One that would have disappointed you. Egham 0, South Park 3.
Yeah, disappointed. We sort of was hoping for a draw there, really. But I must admit, I thought South Park would beat them. I think Egham have given up the ghost. I think South Park, they're still playing for something, and I thought they would win.
Another change of manager at Egham as well, with Dixon Gill going. I know Dixon over the years. I was a little bit surprised he got the job, if I'm honest with you, but he knew someone there. I just don't see why change now when you're six games to go. It seems strange. Mm.
Does seem strange. We played probably 3-4 weeks ago. And they just had nothing. The players weren't playing for him. There was just nothing there. There was arguments on the pitch, arguments off the pitch. They're in 3-4 at the minute. You sort of fear for them a little bit. Even next year, someone's got to go in there and get hold of that club and do it properly. Otherwise, you've seen it before with Godalming and teams like that have gone down again. So hopefully someone comes in and sorts it out. But again, yeah, six games to go. Why do it then?
Yeah.
I think they've all sort of accepted they're down. So just stick with it to the end of the season. But there you go.
FC Romania 1, Waltham Abbey 2.
Yeah, again, Romania are a funny side. You catch them on a wrong day, they play good football. Mm. Play out from the back, on Chesnut's pitch as well, which is decent. They play good football, but Waltham Abbey, they're a hard side. I think we got Saturday, they're a funny side. Again, catch them on their day, they give you a good hiding. Don't catch them on your day, you've got half a chance. Mm. But no real shot again. I would expect Waltham Abbey to beat them. Mm.
And of course, your game, Hanwell Town 3, Molesley 1. I mean, at 1-1, I was jumping up and down. It just got back from the vets, and I was jumping up and down.
To be honest, it's one of the best. Well, not one of the best we played. It's one of our better performances in the last 4 or 5 weeks. We played better on Saturday than we did against Hartford and Egham, but beat Hartford and Egham. 1-0 down. And in my head, I was sort of thinking, like, a draw. I'd have the up with a draw. We got it back to 1-1. There was only going to be one winner. We was all over them. We hit the post. We hit the crossbar. Fortunately, the goalie had a bit of a howler. They made it 2-1. And because of the league position we're in, you can just see the confidence just drain out of people. Heads dropped. We were pushing to get an equaliser, they nicked the third, but a disappointing result because they're an average side, Hanwell, average side. So disappointed with that one. We thought we could get something there.
Hazen Yedding 1, Bracknell Town 0. And it was only a penalty that got them the win.
A dodgy penalty as well. I don't know if you've seen it on the video. It was a bit of a dive. But again, I think they'll do well next year, Hazen Yedding. I think they'll go up with the side they got, the budget they got, facilities they got. They're equipped to go up and up again. They'll do well next year.
I just hope they manage the club a bit better than what they have over the years, though. That's the only worry, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. They're head and shoulders above anything in our league. Even Bracknell are very good sides, but you still fancy it at Hazen Yedding win there.
Question for you as well, while you were talking about dodgy penalties, did you actually see the dodgy penalty over the weekend in the international game where the guy was fouled, I think it was in the group, outside the box by about a bus ride, and the referee came running over and actually gave a penalty, and it was the most blatant free kick you've ever seen in your life. It was just...
referees and associations wonder why managers get the hump. But the lino was on that side, Dave, as well. That was brilliant. You can't tell me that they're not corrupt.
Oh, that was just unreal. It must have been about at least half a metre outside the line. It was so blatant, it was unreal. Probably the worst.
When you see things like that, the only thing it does help that you come away and think, well, at least the decision that's gone in my game ain't as bad as that. Because that was shocking, wasn't it?
It's got to be the worst referee decision I think I've ever seen. It was just horrendous. It was so bad. Hartford Town 2, Marlow 2. That was a surprise.
New management. They got new management again during the week, Hartford. I know a lot of the boys that were there at the start of the year have gone back, plus one or two. Chrissy Wilder, centre-half, was with us at Magnet. Good character to have about. That's what they need. When we played them, they had no real leaders in their team. It was just... They wanted to have a fight with you, but fight the wrong way. They had no real quality. Where Chrissy, he'll want to have a fight with people, but he also can play as well. Good character to have about. Marlow, 94th minute equaliser, wasn't it? Half had gone, so Marlow maybe thought they'd got the job done. Charlie Samuels got sent off. Again, another lad who was at Molesey. Very good player, but he's got to get that side of it out of his game. I've seen the video. He's got a second yellow for running across the pitch and getting involved with something nothing to do with him. And you could probably say that's cost him a point. He's got sent off and they've nicked a draw at the end. But again, yeah, another result that weren't great for us. Marlow is cemented in the playoffs now anyway, I think.
I think the surprise of all of that was Marlow conceded two goals. So we'd have only conceded 24 all season. So
yeah, that's it, yeah. No messing about, Marlow. Ball comes near their box. He gets banged down the pitch. There's no messing about.
Tooting and Mitcham 1, Chessant 2. Great result for Craig.
Yeah, hell of a result for them. Tooting are a good side. We played them last Tuesday. Especially at home, we've got a nice pitch and that. They'll try and play a right way. Craig's side, as you say, they're a bit different. They won't play as much football as Tooting. They'll go a bit more direct. I'm sure Craig won't mind me saying that, but yeah, hell of a result. That's a tough place to go to in. So
yeah.
I'd actually thought Tooting would win that, but so it's a great result for Chesham.
Well, looking at that, your division end, Hazen Yedding away with the Fairies, played 32 with 79, Bracknell 31 with 62, Marlow 31 with 62, Chessant 32 with 62, Westfield 32 with 57, Ware 32 with 54, Waltham Abbey 32. With 52, and then Tooting and Northwood on 51. The bottom is Egham have played 31 with 11. Then yourselves played 30 with 21. South Park 32 with 25. Hartford Town 32 with 25. So is it, would you say Egham down and then one from three?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, Egham have got, they're finished, they're done. It's just, yeah, at the next three really, who can put a little run together. As I said to you earlier, like, it's in our hands. We got the two games in hand. It's all good having them. You've got to get something out of them. Mm. Like, everyone keeps telling us about the two games, but you've got to get points out of them, otherwise they're irrelevant. So definitely one out of the next three.
Mm. Let's go to the South East Division then. Cray Wanderers 2, Haywards Heath 2, 318 there. Great result for Haywards.
Like I just said, we got Haywards Heath Saturday, David, which is a massive game. I thought Cray would have won that. I want to watch Haywards Heath for about 3 weeks ago, and Tony was down there as well, and I thought that they would have dealt with them, but obviously not. It's a great result for Haywards Heath away to Cray. As I said to you about the Dorking thing, I'm not saying that, you know, they took the foot off the gas, but have they? I'm not too sure. But I wanted Cray to win as well, but it's still, you know, it's there's 2 point drops for Haywards Heath, which is a bonus for us, but it would have been a good game.
Guernsey 2, Faversham 2, 602 to see that. 78th minute equaliser for Faversham.
Yeah, they was in front as well. And I thought, oh, Guernsey, they're dropping, Dave. If Greenwich Borough can, and they signed some big players again last week, and I know they lost, we're coming on to them, but if they can get a couple of results, I think Guernsey might go.
What's happened at Faversham? Is it since Ray's left that everyone's just left, or?
No, they had big issues before Ray left, talking to the club. We went down there last week, and by all accounts, and obviously I know them well, I hope they won't mind me talking out of turn, but they said they had a lot of bad apples in the side, and they've moved some on, and I know some have gone to Canterbury, who's in the Fars, and some have moved on elsewhere, and they had to rebuild a bit. But when you do lose someone of Ray's calibre, and obviously Clive Walker as well, who's massive, he's big. But we played them last week. They've just signed Carl Wood back, who's been about and who will help them out, and Dave Cook was back in defence last week. He's been playing up front. They've got some decent wide players. I don't know why they dropped. They've dropped a bit. That they've got new facilities like changing rooms put in the last year or so. So I don't know if they focused financially a bit more there. But it is a bit of a surprise. They're fine. They picked up enough wins with the new management. They've actually injected a bit more life into them, if I'm honest. But listen, to go to Guernsey is not easy anyway. Even though where they are, it's a long day. It's a tough day. They're the ones I think that. They could go, Dave.
Mm.
I really, and then what will happen?
Yeah, absolutely.
What did you think of your? Sorry,
go on.
Dave. What did you think of the journey to Guernsey? Is it something you liked, or?
Mate, we played them 3 times, and believe it or not, 2 of them were midweek.
Oh.
I just thought it was a joke. Like 2 days off work, you're going on a Wednesday lunchtime, getting back Thursday lunchtime. That was no good. And the other time, we had to be at the airport. I think at 8 in the morning. I think it was to get. We was at the club at 6 o'clock. It's just, it's too much, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good experience, and that the first time you do it, the airport, the plane, the ground, the nice crowd, and that. Once you've done it once, for me, it ain't fair, I don't think. I think it's too much to ask of teams, especially midweek games.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people might be listening going, well, they've got to do it every other week, but it is a little bit different when you get to their airport, isn't it? You just walk in and out, and I think they get put up. But like I said, they're lovely people. I really do like them all over there.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I think there'd be a lot of managers that would look exactly thinking the same as you are.
Yeah,
100%. Horsham 0, Ashford United 0, 231. That was the big game in your league at the weekend, so.
Yeah, and again, it's points that I was speaking to Tommy Warlow in the week, and he'd be happy with that. He was a bit worried about the numbers he had going down to Horsham with a few injuries and that. So he'd take that 0-0, clean sheet. So they've got a great goalkeeper anyway. But they've lost a couple of players. I think they've gone back from loan and so on. I think someone's gone back to Folkestone. He was looking to recruit a little bit in the week. I know he had. I see a couple of players he's signed. But that's a... overall they'd both be happy with that. More Horsham, I think.
Ramsgate 0, Phoenix Sports 0.
Yeah, I was with the lads yesterday. I know they're watching. When you spoke to me, Dave, I was down there. It was the chairman's twins' birthdays yesterday. They were both 18, so I went down there. They said it was just a dire game. It was 0-0. It was no quality. It was pretty poor from both sides. And not the best.
Mm. It's a tough place to go to Ramsgate, isn't it? The wind is always blowing across the pitch, changing room. Or it's colder in the changing rooms than it is outside. It's like it's a bad place to go there.
Sevenoaks 2, Greenwich Borough 1, 322.
Yeah, great crowd. I thought Greenwich might have got something. Like I said, they signed Jack Simitrusis in the week from Hive, who was at Greenwich, that you'll remember, Craig. Great player, can play a lot higher level.
Well, and
Yeah, I thought it'd make a big difference. Mm. Great. It's a good bounce back for Mick, Mickey Collins. We've got to go to Sevenoaks, I think, last game of the season. So, but I think on paper, Greenwich would have looked at that and thought that is one of the games that they could pick 3 points up. So they'd be disappointed there. Well, Dan, I know Steve Salis is watching.
Well, Dan's just come in and said, do we speak about the National League? No, we don't, not in this show. But if you want to sort it out for us so that we can do that, then by all means, we don't mind doing that and talking about the National League as well. Sittingbourne 0, Hive Town 3.
I'm surprised with Sittingbourne's run the last few games. That they went on a great run with Chris there. He got a lot of youngsters. And I was looking at the teams they were playing up by the top and thinking they can get points there. But they've lost to Whitstable the week before. They've lost a couple now. I don't know if they lost a couple of the lads that they had on loan from Gillingham. But Hive have let a few go as well. And I actually thought they would pick something up there. So that's a good result for Hive and Sam.
Three Bridges 1, Hastings 3.
That's not a surprise to me, Dave, that Hastings have hit a good run of form. Obviously beating us, beating Cray, and then going away to Three Bridges, which is no easy place. It's a physical place to go down now. So they'd be happy with that.
I'm friends with Martin Dine and Liam Collins, who was the manager and assistant at Three Bridges, and they felt they weren't too far away. They went on that good run, didn't they? Got manager in a month and that, and then they slumped after Christmas, but he just said he felt they were one or two short, but not too far away. But I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be safe.
They're going to be safe. The problem there, Craig, and I've said this many a time on here, the reason why their discipline is appalling.
Yeah.
And I know we had two sent off in a week, but you know, they're don't matter. They've struggled with a lot of suspensions over the course of the year.
Yeah, definitely.
VCD 2, Herne Bay 0.
Yeah, I was talking just before we come off air, Dave. Yeah, good win for us. Nice to get back after Tuesday and a little disappointment with the two sending offs playing with 9 men for an hour. And we showed a bit of character. We had a few people back. We made a couple of signings. We made a bit of our work of it. And fair play to Herne Bay. They were young and they had a bit of a go. The first half, I think we should have just put the game to bed and been out of sight. Obviously, Charlie McDonald scored for us coming back from injury. And then we laboured a bit. And second half, we was a little bit tired, I thought. Tuesday caught up with us and they had a 15 minute spell where they put us under the pressure and McKeeper's made a couple of great saves, but sometimes, as I said, I'm lucky I've got two, I would say, big players, ex-pros in Charlie and Ali Fassini, and who's obviously played 79 times for Millwall, and his second goal was unbelievable. 30 yards, just bent it straight in the top corner and won us the game and got us back on track, really.
Whiteleaf 1, Whitstable Town 1.
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise, obviously, with Whiteleaf now. I think they've let a couple go. And Whitstable are a big, strong, powerful side. So, that's a result I would have looked at and thought draw, to be honest.
Mm. If we look at the South East Division then, top Cray, they played 30 with 72, but only scored 67 goals compared to the others that's in top of 73, 83 and 116. And when you
last year, they got over 100 goals as well. But
yeah.
They've changed the way they play a little bit, Dave. They still play their football, but they've been a bit more solid at the back. They've got Tom Pippin, who anchors the midfield a little bit, and they've got no Michael Power much this year, so their centre forwards have been different. Obviously, they had Charlie towards the end of the year last year as well, so they've got a little bit of a different, but then their defensive record's miles better.
Absolutely, yeah. Hastings United, they've played 31 with 59. Horsham, 31 with 59. Ashford 30 with 58, Haywards Heath 30 with 56. Then we've got a 9-point gap to Hive on play 31 with 47, and yourselves VCD 30 with 47. But again, well, you've got a game in hand on Hive, but do you still see that you might still be able to sneak in there, Keith?
The game in the week was a big blow to us, Dave, but obviously, and different things because it was our game in hand, and if we'd have won that, we'd have been 6 points behind with Haywards Heath and Ashford to play. And if you look at Haywards Heath and Ashford's running, they've got to play everyone. They've got to play all the top side. So all we can do, we just said, look, get 3 points, see where we go. If we can beat Haywards Heath on Saturday, the gap's 6 points. Then with six games to go, it's squeaky bum. They've got to go to Ashford, they've got to go to Horsham, and I think they've got to go to Hastings. So all we can do is just keep trying to win and see where we go. But we've just got to take it one step at a time. We've said this before, we've had a great year, but let's see.
Yeah.
We've just got to try and put pressure on teams. That's all we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. At the bottom then, there's only one going down, of course. Greenwich Borough are in bottom place. They've played 31 with 24. Guernsey, 30 with 28. And then you've got three teams on 31. Three Bridges, Herne Bay and Faversham. So where do you see the one going down? Is it Guernsey? Because if you read those names out, other than Three Bridges, it's probably the side. Or Herne Bay, of course, have got a few issues internally as well. So, I mean, could that sort of
save them? I think Herne Bay will be fine. I think Faversham will be fine. It's Greenwich or Guernsey. But I'm not 100% sure, Dave, but I think Greenwich Borough have got to play Guernsey.
Mm-hmm. We'll have a look. We'll certainly have a look. We'll flick it up and see if we can find out if they've got a plan. But I suppose while I'm doing that then, shall we talk a little bit about Molesley?
Yeah, of course.
So, Craig, I mean, talk to us a little bit about, you know, about the club. And we've sort of adopted your side, as you know, this season. And, we're looking at your results all the time and giving you as much sort of airtime as we possibly can. But, I mean, tell us a little bit about Molesley. That, you know, there might be a lot of people that might not know too much about the club.
It's a little village club, really. It's not a massive club. Like, you've been there, Keith. It ain't like some of the grounds you'll go to. I was actually in the High Street not too long ago, Molesley High Street. I got talking to someone about football. They didn't even know the football club was there. it's hence why the gates ain't very big and that. But it's a small club. It's punching above its weight. But it's they try and run it properly. They've got good people down there. Hopefully we can get a few more points and stay up. They're all desperate to stay up down there, so that'd be good. Good to do that and then try and move it on next year.
Well, just before we carry on, these are Greenwich's last games. They've got Sittingbourne at home, Cray away, Guernsey away, Whiteleaf at home and Hastings at home. So it's horrific.
Cray and Hastings is... Hastings might already be in the playoffs, Dave, so you never know.
Yeah.
The other couple of games, Sittingbourne, you know, they only have to win a couple of them and that'd be enough. You know, I don't know who Guernsey have got. They've got... But it's going to be tight.
I'll have a look at Guernsey. Once we've finished with Craig, we'll have a look at that, get that to before we finish. But I mean, the club itself then, I mean, we always laugh and joke and say that other than yourself, Tracy seems to be doing everything, including, you know, running around doing everything. I mean, what's she like to work with?
Tracy, yeah, she's good. She's, I've known Tracy for years. She was a school teacher in the schools I used to work. I do football coaching in the schools and she was a teacher there. So I've known her for years. She should probably delegate more, to be honest. She tries to do everything herself. But that's just Tracy. That's because she wants the best for the club. Mark Billett, as you know, who's on here, comes on, like, what's his show a lot. He does a lot around the club. Like I say, it's not a big club, so it's literally like three or four people that have to do everything. You go to other clubs, they've got lots of volunteers that are willing to do this, that and the other. Molesley's not like that. It's like, I know lots of people say a little family club, but it is run by Tracy's family. But yeah, it's a small, tight-knit little club, but no, she's good to work for. She don't put no pressure on you and that. It's just, she understands that, like, you know, the budget ain't the greatest, the crowds we get ain't the greatest, so she knows we're punching, but no, she's alright.
Craig, how does Molesley survive?
It's the drinking club during the week. The bar's open during the week. Mm-hmm. So you've got, like, darts in there, you've got a darts team in there, pool team in there. You go in there, I could go in there at, say, 1 o'clock tomorrow lunchtime and there'd be five, six people having a beer in there. So the bar basically keeps it alive. They hire the pitch out, hence why it ain't the greatest, because they've got to hire it out to get the money in. We've got to train again at a goals or a leg centre around the corner on Thursday because they've hired the pitch out again, which ain't great when you want to work on shape or something, because on a five-a-side court there's not too much you can do. But Tracy said it has to be done just to keep the club afloat. So,
yeah.
But I knew that when we took over. It ain't no great. It's not a shock. Do you know what I mean? That's how the club is. That's how it works, and we have to get on with it.
So when you did sort of get the job and take over, what made you do it?
I weren't happy with what was going on down there. It was a shambles, if I'm being honest. On the pitch, not off the pitch. On the pitch. And it was a shame. I'd been there 5 years. Obviously, we had success at the club and that. The previous two had been a bit of a struggle, but the first 3 years always had success. I didn't like what was going on, so I left. When she rang me up and said about it, I just thought, why not? It can't get worse than it was. So it was paining me. Like, I'd come in after our games, you check the result, and they'd lost 6-0 or 8-1 or every, they're getting thumped every week. And then one of them, they had an attendance of 13. And my little boy, he plays under 6, gets more than 13 at his game. So I just thought, do you know what? I'll give it a go. I can't do no worse than what was going on down there. And I suppose, you know, it's your first step into management, whether it works out for me, hopefully it does. But yeah, I like the club, so I thought I'd give it a go.
Just moving forward, what is there any future plans at the club that are put in place to try and sort of help it progress? Because when I went down there, obviously it was my first trip there last year, and I was a little bit surprised when I got there. Obviously it's in a housing sort of state, and well, there's houses all around it, and yeah. But you walk in, little bar, the changing rooms, you nearly knock your head off when you go through the door. But like when you come out and you look to the right, there's this gigantic stand with unbelievable, it looks like rooms and all that inside it that doesn't seem to be used. Well, it didn't look that way. Is there plans to sort of...
Yeah, well, another source of income that they have under the stand, like you say, it's a big stand. Underneath it is it used to be a bar, but they've cleared all that out now. There's a nursery under there, which obviously pay money for the club and blah, blah, blah. They have got some more land to the left that they're looking to sell and put more houses on, just to keep their heads above water, really. Yes, if they get the housing planning, which they hope they get, the club will be all right. If they don't, it will just struggle on as it is now. It's always tight down there. Put it that way.
How did the family get to sort of own the club? Is it always been in the family for years, or were they just lifelong supporters? And someone went, "Hey, I'll deal with that." And
Tracy's dad and her uncle were starting something to do with it years ago. I think they've just carried it on. Like I said, they've got a little committee down there that Tracy got voted in as chair lady, and yeah, rest is history. Her girls work behind the bar, her daughters, her uncle works behind the bar, her ex-husband is the groundsman.
Is that why the pitch is so bad?
It's so hard when you want to cut it.
Yeah, he digs it up.
That'd improve it. It is a good club, and for the people behind the scenes, I hope we do stay up.
Like you said, you know, we went down there, they were lovely to us, and you know, behind the bar you can just see, I don't know, Dave, if you've been down there, but
I haven't, no, not had the pleasure,
you can see a smaller club and whatever it is down there, that they're a family that are doing everything to keep football going for the town, and you can't help but, you know, sort of take bond to it. You're like, you know what, there's a lot of, what's the best way, the only way I can say it, there's a lot of arseholes in football, okay, but they're not, and you're like, you need more people like this around in football, you know, that will continue a club. It's not all about, you know, not just success, because every club wants it, and they have had it, and you're right, if you go in the bar, there's plenty of pictures of Craig and all that round there, and vice versa, but you just get this bond that you want it to do well.
Yeah. To be fair, they do try that. There's lots of schools around the area which they've gone round and handed out free tickets for the kids, half price for the adults. If you look at our gates, they're sort of 50, 60, and 40 of them are the away fans. So they do try their hardest to get the gates up and keep the club going, but as I said to you before, there's so many clubs around the area. Walton Casuals, Walton Urshan, Pet Police, Leverhead, Corinthian Casuals, Merstham, and the list goes on. It's like we're not that well supported. It's just, it is what it is, and we get on with it.
To sort of take the club forward, what have you got to deal with, Craig? At your disposal, is it 21 youth? You know,
what they've done, because we were struggling again financially a couple of years ago. They had a youth team of reserves and a first team. They scrapped the youth team of reserves. It was just because of the finance of it. They started an under 23 league, but they're in the, believe it or not, the Ryman put them in the Kent League. So they're playing Ramsgate away, Sittingbourne away in the under-23s. And again, it's not viable. So they're trying to get a more local league. Mark Billich just set up, they're looking to set up a youth team again, just to get the next lot of players through, because we haven't got the money to go out and, you know, offer player X, Y, Z, like some clubs can. Like, you've got Walton Casuals, Vet Police, literally half a mile away, each club, who can offer treble what we're offering. So they're always going to go there. So we've got to try and get a good youth set up, which is what we're trying to work on now, and bring our own little crop through, which is going to take a good few years. It's like they scrapped it a couple of years ago and they're looking to get it started again. But that's going to take time. But that's the plan. Like I say, the housing money will hopefully keep the club afloat the next 2 years, 3 years, and by then, this set of youngsters hopefully will start coming through.
And just say if the worst scenario does happen and you did go down, don't worry, we'd go and put another couple of clubs out of business, me and Dave, so you get a reprieve anyway. But you know, would that be really bad for the club? I don't just mean wise, I mean like as a, you know, if you drop down, can they bounce back?
I think they can bounce back. I'm not saying they'd bounce back straight away because it's tough once you go down in them leagues. One goes up, there's no playoffs, it is tough. Financially, again, there's teams in the lower league paying a lot more than what we're paying, so we would probably be a middle sort of table-sized club in that league below. But a lot of people say to us when they come, we're a Combined Counties club, in theory, the gates we get and the budget, etc. But I know the people down there are desperate to stay up. They see themselves as a Bostic club. I see it as a Bostic club. When I was growing up, I live in Molesey. They were in the Ryman Premier as it was back then, and they were good. They were getting 250s, 300s through the gate. So it's not always been like it is now. I'm hoping we stay up for the likes of Tracy and the others, and then, like I say, get a good pre-season under our belt, hopefully kick on and not have this situation next year and sort of stabilise it a little bit.
Well, just looking, obviously, I know Dave likes doing this, but he's obviously looking up on the TV.
No. I'm actually looking to see their guns.
Yeah. Saturday, you're home to Waltham Abbey, which you said. Then you go away to Tooton and Mitcham, two clubs obviously trying to get in the playoffs. Yeah. Then you go at home to Marlow, who are in the playoffs. Yeah. Westfield, away, that are in the playoffs. And obviously you've got Chalfont St Peters, Hayes and Yedding, that will obviously all be absolutely plastered by them because they've won the league. Chipstead and Northwood. So where are you seeing your points?
Well, again, I was talking to Dave before that you sort of, Northwood last game of the season, they ain't going to be playing for nothing. If we're playing for something, we have to be bang up for it. You hope that little bit of intensity might nick you a result. Chipstead on the bank holiday Monday, they ain't playing for nothing. You hope they're all out on the Sunday, gallivanting, doing what they're doing. There could be points there. I said to you before, Dave, Hayes and Yedin, I still fancy us to get something there. Just the league will be wrapped up by then. Mm. Are they really going to come to Little Molesey, see the pitch and be up for it? Maybe not.
If you thought, again, and we're doing this, you might have, they might say no, just to try and get your gate a little bit bigger against Hayes and Yedin, maybe playing on the Good Friday?
It's something we haven't thought about. We've done it last year. We actually played on the Friday against Carl Shorten. And the crowd was better. So, yeah, it's something that could... Yeah, it's a good idea, actually.
Ashford have asked us, but they might even get the trophy then. It might be the game before, but, you know, they if not, they get, you know, you get an extra, what I'm trying to say, and it helps us, you get an extra few days, rest to play.
Yeah, yeah, no, which could be a massive game. The only thing we've got going for us is South Park have basically got the same running as us. Hmm. They've got to play Marlow, they've got to play Chesham, they've got to play Tooting, they've got to play Westfield. They're near enough the same as us, but we got, obviously, Chalfont, and Marlow is our games in hand. Chalfont is one we've definitely got a target. Tooting a very good side. We lost 3-2 to them the other day. And like I said, you scored two goals at home. You shouldn't be losing. But we can go there with a little bit of confidence that we finished that game quite strong against them. So it's not a foregone conclusion. We'll go there and try and nick a result. But it's going to be tough. Mm. But hopefully we've got enough to do it.
Well, I was looking over here at the actual games and the teams, etc, etc. I mean, do you think it is for you, you're looking at South Park rather than Hartford?
Well, they're on the same points, aren't they? Mm. They're on the same points. It's just, I don't know, we've always said South Park, so they've always been the team that's been cut away. Hartford have been dragged into it a bit now, so South Park and Hartford in theory. Personally, I would like to see us and South Park stay up. I thought Hartford, I know the manager's gone, but he weren't the nicest of people. I was sort of hoping us and South Park do a job. But the only thing with Hartford, they got a bit more of a favourable running than everyone else. They've got a few teams. They've got Egham to play. They've got someone else that's a winnable game, Romania, I think. Mm. So, I see it between... It's us three, but probably you're looking at us and South Park. Mm. But as I said earlier, we've got two games in hand. We win our two games in hand. It's in our hands, basically.
Well, even one of them put squeaky bum time behind them, didn't it? So,
well, we've got a better goal difference. Do you know what I mean? So, all of a sudden, we get a point Saturday and they lose. You win the Chalfont game, you're above them, for example. It's just, it's ifs, buts, maybes, but we're confident. No one's looking at it like we're down yet. Until it's mathematically impossible, we'll We'll give it a good shot.
Well, I hope South Park go down.
Well, the actual Hartford games, they're away to Chipstead, home to FC Romania, home to Egham, away to Hanwell, home to Chesson, and then away to Bedfont Sports.
Yeah, that's a better running than what South Park is, really. Yeah, the Egham one is your 3 points.
And the South Park's away to Ashford Town, home to Westfield, home to Chesson, away to Marlow, home to Tootenham Mitcham, and then they finish off away to Waltham Abbey on the last game of the season.
Every point, 4 points out of these games. Right, Michael Spencer, I get on the phone. I don't know anyone at Marlow or Chipstead. You're in. Don't worry, Craig. We can fix it, can't we, Dave?
Well, I could just nick down, if you need the 3 points on the last game of the season, I'll nick down to Waltham Abbey and have a word in Michael's ear hole, because he's only down the road to me.
We're going to change our name, not to the repost, to the repossess.
But I mean, around the club, though, I mean, are they as positive as me and Keith that you're going to get out of it? Or is it a little bit a case of some of them are thinking the worst?
No, it's like anything, isn't it? If you go to any football club, there's some there, they're adamant we're going to stay up. There's some there, adamant we'll go down. Everyone's got their different opinions on it, what we're going to do. Management-wise, player-wise, committee-wise, we're all confident we can do it. Like I say, it's in our hands. We're confident we can get the points. We just read the runnings out. South Park's is tough. Mm. Ours is tough, but there's a couple in there that we're targeting. The general consensus is positive down there. Of course, you're going to get the odd person who's... You get every idiot at football club. Do you know what I mean? Like the village idiot, as they call them. But it's that's what it is. That's football. It's a game of opinions. And if someone thinks we're going to go down, that's up to them. Good luck to them. But hopefully we can prove them wrong.
Dave, listen. Tuesday the 16th of April, home to Chalfont St Peter's. You've got to get down there, mate.
I'll have a beer waiting, Dave.
Get down there. Listen, if and we still could be in the. If not, I'm going.
Okay. We'll go.
Both bring your boots, you might get a game.
Yeah.
So Tuesday the 16th?
Yeah, home to Chalfont St Peter. That's what it says.
That's one of the games at hand. That could be the big one.
Yeah.
That'd be a game and a half, wouldn't it? And England...
Like Dean Sawyer says, England's just gone 1-0 down.
Yeah, they have. I haven't seen the goal, but I just saw it just ping up as well. But are you expecting a good win there, though, on that day? On the
16th?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, we played them away. We absolutely murdered them. We drew 1-1. Actually, their goal was my mistake. I'll give the ball away, and mate, he crossed it and they scored. But we drew them their place. And, yeah, we murdered them. Again, one of them 2 points dropped. So I know they've lost a few. The manager's resigning at the end of the year, and he's packing it in. Again, if they're playing for nothing, are they really going to be bothered coming to Mulsey on a Tuesday night, 2 weeks before the end of the season? There might be a few players missing. You never know. But that's the thing. These teams now, some of them are not playing for nothing. Like Keith said earlier, the results, it's a silly season now. The results are strange. But for us, we're 100%. We've got to be 100% every game. So we're going to be fully focused and hope that others are not.
Well, one thing I would say is maybe, unless I'm mad, but the 16th, I'm taking that to Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, according to the football webpage, you're playing them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on the Tuesday.
Yeah, they don't know that
Chalfont
though, so that's why they're
going to lose. I'm just thinking, hang on a minute, 3 o'clock on the Tuesday afternoon. Surely, you know, they've got the kick-off time wrong enough with that one, but that'd be a great game. Yeah, no, I it's the week I go back to work, so if I can swing it around that I can get down there, then yeah, but I'll certainly be there.
No, everyone'll be pleased to see you, mate. Be welcomed in.
Yeah, that'd be great fun. But, listen, time's running away from us. I know everybody wants to rush off and watch football, and other people are going to be leaving us as well. People are watching the show to see it. But, I mean, me and Keith, as you know, and you've heard, you know, we really hope all the best for you, for Tracy, for the club, and everything.
Well, Dave, I'll tell you what we could do, right? Let's see what the fixture, what happens, obviously, with us. But we could do the show from there on that Tuesday.
Yeah?
We could do it maybe from 6 till 7, something, and then and do bits while the game's going on.
We could do. Why not? Yeah, we could do a bit of live commentary like we did before at the Arlo game. Why not? Yeah.
We could interview Tracy and all the people there. Yeah. If it's such a big game.
Yeah.
I'll take it to.
Yeah.
We're going to the Chalfont changing room before the game.
That'll open your eyes to a few things. I'll tell you what as well, Keith, if you could give me Charlie to end of the season, that'd be a touch.
Yeah, I could.
But no, why not? It's, you know, we'll see. I'll get hold of Tracy as well, see if we can sort something out. And then maybe, yeah, instead of having it on the Monday night, we'll do it on the Tuesday night. And we'll come down to, as long as Keith ain't got a game and everything, then yeah, why not? Yeah, let's see if we can come down there and bring people down as well. And I'll bring my daughter down as well. So I'll get her taking some photos as well, if she's around as well. So yeah, we'll come down.
We can make it. Everyone who watches the show, come and support Molesey. Keep Molesey up. They can come on the show.
Save the
Moles. And cheer for
Molesey. Yeah, absolutely.
They can stand behind the goal, and every time Chalfont shoot, we jump in front of it.
What's the Wi-Fi like down there?
Yeah, all right.
There's loads of houses. We can just lock nick everyone else's Wi-Fi.
You'd enjoy it. Get down there. It's not a bad shout.
We
should do it.
No, we'll certainly look into that. And, you know, I'd say 99% will be there. And unless Keith's call gets a game put in on a Tuesday night, then if he's up for it, then yeah, why not?
How's our plan?
No way. Well, listen, everybody, we massive thank you for everybody joining us tonight. And I know it's the shortest show tonight. And everybody wants to get on to see if England can actually pull it back as they're losing 1-0 at the present minute time. But we do wish Molesey all the best of the weekend, VCD, all the best of the weekend. And of course, everybody else that's fighting for playoffs and fighting for to avoid relegation, you know, we wish you all the very, very best at the weekend. And hopefully you get what you need. Me, Dean, and maybe Paul, we'll be back on Friday night with the preview show. And me and Keith will be back next week. Where we'll be, who knows? We could be at Averley, we could be at Chesham, we could be sitting in our front rooms again. Who knows where we could be this time next week. But we'll be back next week. But until then, hopefully everybody gets, as I said, the results that you want. But until then, good night.